So what does it mean to be faithful? What does faithful mean? Well, I started by looking in the dictionary. And faithful, as Peter was saying earlier, means to be loyal and steadfast, to be reliable in something. And it can also be a noun. We can sometimes talk about the faithful. The Bible talks about the faithful being the believers in Jesus. Those who aren't. We can sometimes talk about people faithful to a religion or political party. So to be faithful, to be loyal and steadfast, to be reliable. So we're going to look at this section in Acts chapter 6 and chapter 7 in a bit more detail. And we're going to say, who was faithful? And we're going to look at who was faithful in that little section of the Bible that we just read. So we're thinking about the very early church. And it might surprise you, because these things never happen in church, but there were some tensions in the early church. There were a few squabbles and a few disagreements. And you're thinking, surely this would never happen. But back in the early church, there was a few issues, because amongst the early church, there were the Jews in Jerusalem, and there were also the Greek-speaking people. And as often happens when you get two different people with different cultures and different backgrounds who spoke different languages, there were disagreements. They couldn't understand each other. They were treated with suspicion. And one of the ways in which this came about was that the Greek-speaking Jews, who were part of the early church, felt they were being discriminated against. And sometimes it happens in our own cultures, doesn't it? This New Year, we welcomed in the Romanians and the Bulgarians into the EU, into the UK. And the Daily Mail and the right-wing press were full, weren't they, of stories about how suddenly Elmswell and Suffolk was going to be absolutely full of Romanians on, you know, as soon as Big Ben had stopped striking 12 on New Year's Day. And to some extent, there was a little bit of that kind of tension in the early church. The Greek-speaking Jews felt that they were being discriminated against. Now, the Jews and the early church had a system whereby everybody was provided for, a bit like a food bank nowadays. So the widows, ladies whose husbands had died, they were provided for. So if they didn't have any income or didn't have any money, the church, or before then, the Jews would look after them by giving them food. One thing that was happening, for whatever reason, whether it's unintentional or intentional, we don't know, but the Greek-speaking Jews felt that they weren't being provided for because the widows were going hungry and they were being neglected. So there was a bit of a blight on the church there, because the Greek-speaking Jews weren't getting food for their widows. So what did they do? Well, Peter and the apostles, they decided that something had to happen about this. They had to sort something here. So what they decided is to put somebody in charge of looking after the distribution of the funds and the distribution of the food to the widows. And that person was Stephen. There was also, back in the early church, there was also the established Jewish people, the synagogue. And there's some people that we hear about called the freedmen of the synagogue. And they were people who used to be slaves. And back in Roman times, you could win your freedom. Now, I don't think you won your freedom just like Maximus from Gladiator by fighting everybody in the Roman Colosseum. But if you served a certain amount of time, or if you had enough money to buy your freedom, you could be free. And so lots of people who were Jews came back to Jerusalem. And so there were people in the synagogue who were called freedmen. And so we're going to look at whether those freedmen were faithful as well. So ultimately, those freedmen had an issue with Stephen, because Stephen was preaching all about the Lord Jesus and telling everybody about the power of the gospel. And the freedmen took umbrage with this, and they said, hang on. Worship is in God's temple only. And there was an issue between Stephen and the Jews who believed in the Old Testament God, and Stephen who knew about the Lord Jesus. So who was faithful in this situation? Let's look at the early church and the freedmen of the synagogue first. Ultimately, those freedmen were maybe being faithful to the wrong thing. A few pictures up here. Now, I'm not saying that the early church was in any way racist, but we've got an issue there with racial tensions, haven't they? Tensions between lots of different people. which was giving rise to some people going hungry. And there's also an issue with the freedmen in the synagogue who were saying, well, actually, worship is for God's temple only. People were being faithful to certain causes, but maybe they were being faithful to the wrong thing. Maybe they're being faithful to the wrong thing. So unintentionally, the early church was being faithful to what it knew. It was being faithful to the old systems and the old ways. And as a result, unfortunately, things were happening which weren't really right. People going hungry. And the people of the traditional synagogues were being faithful to the old ways. They're being faithful to how they'd always worshipped and what they always knew. But ultimately, God was doing a new thing and they'd been faithful to the wrong thing. And I wondered, before we look at Stephen and our faithful God, I wondered whether the early church and the freedmen of the synagogue can teach us something here. Because sometimes we can restrict what God is doing by being faithful to the wrong things. We can take on the opinions of the outsiders, sometimes unintentionally. We just take it on by, you know, reading what the press says and what we hear in the newspapers. And we take on the wrong opinions, and maybe we don't think about the needs of immigrants and people who are coming into our amongst us, to live amongst us, whatever, putting the politics aside. And maybe we're so busy with our traditions and our systems in our churches that we're becoming blind to the needs of the world. We get so busy doing church things that we forget what our real call is. That actually, God isn't restricted to these four walls, but actually we're called to do something far greater as Christians, to spread the gospel outside of these four walls. So maybe we are being faithful to the wrong things. Let's look at Stephen. Stephen, like I said, Stephen's task was to distribute money to the widows. A bit like a food bank nowadays. Who's seen a food bank in operation? Has anyone ever heard about food banks? Yeah? Anyone ever been part of a food bank or maybe handing out some... No? Not something... People don't go hungry in Elmswell? Maybe not. Well, I don't know. But anyway, Stephen was faithful to his task. Now, that wasn't specifically one of the upfront, you know, more glorious tasks in the early church. The apostles were going out and spreading the word. Stephen's task maybe wasn't quite that glorious. He was supposed to be looking after the funds and looking after the widows and handing out food. Now, that might not be seen as something which is, you know, core to spreading the gospel message, but it was really important. And Stephen can teach us something here, how important it is to be faithful to the small things. Now, we might not recognise it, but every week or every so often, we've got people coming in who are cleaning the churches. We've got people here who set up flowers, people here who make sure that the heating bill is paid. Now, those kind of things go unnoticed, but they're all important parts of God's church and his kingdom. And Stephen was faithful to those smaller things, and there's a real challenge for us. But Stephen was also faithful in the bigger things, because if you read on in Acts chapter 7, you find out that Stephen faced a little bit of persecution, well, a lot of persecution actually, because those freedmen of the synagogue that we were hearing about earlier had an issue with Stephen, and they said, no, worship's not outside of God's temple, it's supposed to be in the old Jewish temple, and they had a bit of a disagreement. And the freedmen started to stir up things in the community, and ultimately a big mob came out and they confronted Stephen. And if you want to read what happened to Stephen, you can do so by going home and reading the end of Acts chapter 7. But Stephen was faithful in the big things as well. He stood up for God. He stood up for what God for what God meant. He wasn't willing to bow down to things that were not right. He explained God's master plan. So he confronted the mob, and the mob said, what are you saying? What are you saying about Moses? What are you saying about this new Jesus? And he didn't quiver away, but he was faithful to the word. He was faithful to the message. And he explained God's master plan right the way from the beginning through to what had happened in Jesus. Because the most faithful of all, even more faithful than our church cleaners, even more faithful than Stephen, the most faithful of all is our faithful God. Because God from the very beginning of time has had this wonderful master plan that he's not going to leave us alone, but he's going to be loyal, he's going to be steadfast to us. because he loves us, and he was going to send Jesus to rescue us. So how has God been faithful? God is faithful to his people. And there's a verse there from Deuteronomy 7. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commands. So right from the very beginning of time, God has had what we call a covenant, a promise to his people. Now, with the help of a bit of Lego, who do you think that might be? We're going back right to the very beginning of the Bible. Someone that we looked at in family service, maybe about a year ago. Yes, it is Abraham, that's right. Abraham looking up at the stars of the sky. And God said to him, look and count all the stars in the sky. And as many as the stars shall be, so shall your offspring be. And that seemed crazy to Abraham, because Abraham was really old and his wife was really old. They were well beyond having the age in which they could have children. Yet what happened? There we go. Abraham and Sarah, she's looking a bit wrinkly there, isn't she? But Sarah had a son, Isaac. And God was faithful to his promises there. And Isaac had Jacob. Jacob had Joseph. There he is. There's Joseph with his technicolor dream coat. And God was faithful to Joseph as well, wasn't he? Because Joseph had a gift from God where he could interpret dreams, and God was speaking to him. Yet it became all about Joseph, didn't it? It wasn't about God, it was about what Joseph was doing. Joseph became a bit boasty, didn't he? Nobody likes a boasty one. But Joseph was becoming a bit boastful and a bit arrogant. And so in the end, Joseph's brothers packed him off, didn't they? They packed him off and they sent him to Egypt. Yet God didn't leave Joseph smouldering in a prison after all that had happened. Which one's Joseph there? Which one is Joseph? Yes. Yeah, the one right in the middle. Because Joseph went down to Egypt to serve Pharaoh, and he was so trusted that God allowed Joseph to become one of the highest people in Egypt. And there was a famine in Israel. And Jacob and his sons went to Egypt. Here we go, here's Jacob and all his sons. They're desperate for food because there was a famine in Israel. And they met up with Joseph and they realized who Joseph was. And God, as part of his master plan, cared for his people because he made sure that they all had food to eat. Yet there they were in Egypt. And they grew in numbers, didn't they? They grew in numbers, more and more of them, until there were thousands and thousands of Israelites in Egypt. And the Pharaoh in Egypt thought, hey, they're getting a bit powerful here. And then a little baby was born. Who do you think that might be? Down in Egypt on the Nile. It's not Jesus, he's coming later. Who do you think that might be? In Egypt? Yes, Nicholas. It is Moses. There's Moses. And his mother is laying him there in the river because Pharaoh decided there were too many children. He had to deal with them. There was a threat to all the little babies' lives. And so Moses was placed in the Nile, and God kept him safe because God had a plan even through those, all through those times. And Moses led his people on. Any ideas? What's happening here? Can anyone guess what this is from the Bible? I have to say, I love this this Lego Bible. It's great. anyone want to guess what this story is? It is. It's manna from heaven. Because the Israelites escaped out of Egypt. God allowed them to get out of Pharaoh's clutches. And he did wondrous things. And he led them into the desert. But even then the people were moaning because they were hungry, they were thirsty, and they were thinking, oh, we'd prefer to be slaves. We'd much prefer to be slaves in Egypt rather than wandering through the desert. And they lost track of all that God had done in the past. And they lost track of all that was to happen. But God fed them with manna from heaven. And you can see here all the people gathering up the manna. So do you think then that people learnt their lesson? Do you think the Israelites learnt their lesson to trust in God? Well, they didn't. God gave them 10 commandments. And we can see there's Moses up on Mount Sinai receiving the 10 commandments. And what did the people do? Whilst Moses was up on Mount Sinai, They were being led astray. Any idea what this one is? The golden calf is the clue. Yeah, the people down in the valley are being led astray, and they're making an idol, the golden calf. And Moses got angry and he smashed the Ten Commandments. And so, eventually, as you read through the Old Testament, you can see that God had a plan. God was establishing His kingdom. He was being faithful to His people, and it wasn't the end of time for the Israelites. As you read through the Old Testament, you see that they keep going astray, they keep forgetting about God, they keep getting trapped in sin. But ultimately, God has a plan. And we've just celebrated Christmas here. Any ideas? At the back, we had this earlier, didn't we? Who is this in this picture? It is Jesus, that's right. And God sent Jesus as His master plan. That's right, to Mary and Joseph, and there they are in the stable, there's baby Jesus. But that wasn't the end of it, because God's master plan was that one day that little baby in the stable was going to grow up and was going to become a big man, and that man was Jesus, and He would teach us that it was baby Jesus and now it's big Jesus. And that man Jesus would tell us that God loves us. And Jesus was going to take away, Jesus took away all the price for our sin and all the wrong things that we did and all the wrong things that people in ancient Israel did by dying on the cross, so that the pathway to God could be open again and we could be His friends again. Because Jesus was without sin. On the third day after He died, He rose again, and He showed us that because of His death, we can be His friends and we can go to heaven and have eternal life. And that was God's master plan. It would have been so easy for God to turn His back on us and all the ancient Israelite people did. But He didn't. He chose to be loyal and chose to be steadfast. And He's faithful to us as well. God is faithful to His promises. He was faithful in sending Jesus, but He's also faithful in everything that we do as well. Sometimes God asks us to do certain things and they're difficult. Sometimes we don't know which way life is going. But God has a plan and God has promises for our lives, and He is faithful to those. I have to just show you that. That's permission for using the slides. God is faithful to His promises. And I've put up three verses there that are relevant to us as Christians today. God, some promises from God that if we're weary and we're burdened down, God will give us rest. A promise that God has redeemed us. He's brought us back. And He's summoned us. And that we are His children. And that one day, Jesus is going to come back to earth. And He's going to wipe away all the wrongdoing and all the tears. And those are promises. And we know that God is faithful to His promises. Because He is a faithful God. So let's... We're going to take a moment now to say thank you to God for His faithfulness, to pray to Him, to worship Him. Let's just say a prayer together. Lord God, we thank You that You are a faithful God. We thank You that You've been faithful to Your people throughout all generations, from Abraham through to Moses, through all the Old Testament, and You are faithful in sending Jesus, Your Son, as a baby at Christmas time. He lived amongst us and He died that we could be Your friends. And we thank You that You haven't left us, even though we do wrong things, but You've been faithful to us. Thank You, Lord Jesus, for all we can learn from the Acts of the Apostles and the early church. Help us not to overlook those amongst us in the minority. Help us not to get caught up in church things that we forget about Your kingdom and what needs to be done. And Lord God, we thank You that You are faithful to us, that all Your promises will come true, and that we can trust in You to find rest, to find friendship and salvation. Amen.